Shift Happens with Chandler David Watson.
Tracy McBurney's incredible energy consciousness.
Mikhail Mir's financial consciousness.
And nuclear physicist Thomas Campbell.
With quantum physics and consciousness.
It's an incredible mix of the best teachers on consciousness on every show.
Call Intuitive Soul and Friends now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
Good afternoon. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. This is Lori Houston, and today we have Tracy McBurney with us.
Hello.
This is going to be an interesting show. Well, you're always... It always brings up a lot of interesting information, Tracy. You know it.
We hope. We cross our fingers and hope.
Tracy's with us every second Friday of the month, and she can be found on the web at Tracy McBurney. So Tracy without an E, so T-R-A-C-Y, McBurney, M-C-B-U-R-N-E-Y.com. So we're going to talk about divine shielding, which is something relatively, well, very new.
Very new to me.
Very new. Very new.
Very new to me. I didn't even know divine shielding existed. Okay, so where to begin with this? I think we begin with going to a colleague of mine who owns, lucky her, a $22,000 piece of software that she is calling an ETA scan. She came to a session, and that's when I found out about this piece of software. And I said to her, I don't want you to pay me for today's session. I want to get on your machine. I want to see what your machine is. I want to see what it does. I want to see how it works. Anyway, about $15,000 apparently of this software is connected into you, me, the physical beings of us. So it's a bioresonance feedback machine, as I understand it. I loved this experience. Another $7,000 of software connects you in, should you choose to, it connects you in with the emotional component of us and the spiritual component of us. Not that I didn't get some interesting information in the physical scan about that, but it was much more comprehensive when I did the second reading. Anyway, it was within the second reading that this came up, in the emotional spiritual reading, it came up that I did not have any shielding at all. And she was kind of scratching her head going, you know, I've never actually had a client read that they didn't have any shielding. She said, most of the time I'm working to try and help clients to break down their shielding. Like they've got way too much shielding. Nice. I like to call that homeland security operating systems. And so she was actually quite perturbed. She said, I don't actually think that's very healthy for you to have no shielding. I think that you should have some shielding. And so we went back and forward in a very intellectual conversation, but there was a part of me and very much a part of my heart that was kind of like, I looked at her and I said, you know, I actually feel like you reading this on a computer screen tells me I have succeeded at doing what I wanted to do. Right. I wanted to leave myself open and available to everything. Like I did not want... And have never really, I don't think, ever wanted to be in a place of judgment. It was interesting because I had to go into meditation about this, that I considered any kind of shielding to be judgment. Mm. That's what I found out when I went back to do my own personal work on this, is to me, that is one of the biggest reasons why I chose to come in this lifetime unshielded. And it was not because I'd had some conversation with my own divine about this. It was that I had decided at some level of corruption that any level of shielding was a way of deflecting or interfering with an open connection. And I wanted to be as efficient and as good at my job as I possibly could in this lifetime. I came in as a Virgo, right? So it's that perfectionist thing again. So that was very interesting. So I could come to no conclusion about that when I was with her. I really had to go, and I said to her, you know, I'm going to have to go reflect on this. Like, I'm going to have to go and get very quiet. I'm going to have to go and talk to my guides. I'm going to have to really go and look at this before I'm going to actually say, yeah, give me shielding. You're right. She's right. Because really, I felt like, you know, it was probably fairly good that I was, you know, that open. But what she was able to show me through that machine was that leaving myself that open was actually compromising the health and well-being of my organs. Mm-hmm. And she was very specifically showing me which organs were getting more affected than others by all of this emotional stuff and all of this toxic energy that was coming into me, which was creating baggage that was unnecessary for me. And it was very interesting. I will also tell you, I have quite a sensitive body. To sit with that machine those two times, especially the first time, I became much more body aware of some of these conflicts. I became much more aware of my nervous system. And much in what the machine picked up in the physical scan was that my nerves and my brain were very sensitive to sugar, very sensitive to sugar. I have since done a desensitization to that, and I can really feel the difference. I went away and did that work. But I will tell you, about 24 hours after I did that first scan, I could feel my nerves. I could feel their distress. I could feel their upset around sugar. And I really felt like I needed to talk directly to these nerves, and I needed to apologize to them that I did not know that this thing called sugar was so toxic to them, and that I was making a choice that was being so destructive to them. And I did a huge Ho'oponopono piece on that, and then started to really look at what was going on in my genealogy, what was going on in my history that left me that sugar sensitive. So that's for another day. But I'll tell you, you know, because it's scanning with a laser, my body responded so eloquently to that light. It was almost like things started to heal. Things started to be made better just because I was now responding to that light. I was responding to that light frequency. I was able, somehow became aware of something, got brought up to some level of my consciousness, and I could start to make corrections and start to heal things without really understanding what was what. So that I can't say enough about this machine. I just think this machine is just, I think it's just a really great piece of software. I'm beginning to think, with the way things are going in our Ontario government here in Canada and what they're trying to pull with regard to doctors, that maybe doctors need to think about having a $22,000 piece of software in their offices so that they can, you know, have the capacity to do some of that, that work. Since now it looks like apparently what our government wants to do is go after them every time they send off somebody to it, like you and I, to a specialist, when we didn't really need that specialist. Now what our government wants to do is extensively fine the doctor for that misinterpretation.
Wow.
Like, you sent Lori off to have that colon test, and the results came back negative. And because the results came back negative and she has no cancer, she has no polyps, she has none of that, we're going to charge you for that test, Dr. So-and-so.
Oh, my.
Well, you know what? I don't know where that's sitting with our government right now, but that's what they're presupposing. So, of course, me, I'm sitting there going, you know what? All of you guys, you need that $22,000 piece of software to cover your butt, because this is where our government is going. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's for another day. So here I am with this piece of information about divine shielding, and no, I'm not there yet. Here I am with this piece of information about no shielding. And so as I go into reflection, as I go and I speak to my guides, as I go and I really go into a meditation piece about this, what I got was, Tracy, what would be best for you, what would be best for everybody, is if they would reclaim, if they would allow themselves to receive a divine shielding, a divine shielding, to allow a divine shielding to be created by their own divine consciousness and that God beyond. And that shielding would be almost like what they were describing. It'd be like your own supersuit. It'd be like your own uniform. In the days that followed, it was like, wow, this isn't just a shield. This is a skin. It's almost like a divine skin that has a connection to its own nervous system. And that nervous system is very connected to your own divine intelligence. So it's like you're able to bring in information through your divine intelligence all over you, like all around you. Not just bringing it in through crown chakra, for example, but being able to intuit it from a place that's all around. Anyway, it was fascinating. So once I had the meditation, once I'd sat with my guides, that felt reasonable. It felt like the right choice to make. That was when I also realized that I had equated shielding of any kind to being something that was a judgment, that it would deflect something or leave somebody out. That was the word, leave somebody out. Didn't want to leave anybody out. Didn't want to leave anybody behind. Mm. didn't want to be in a place of non-acceptance of somebody else. And so the shielding would be a reflection of my non-acceptance and my rejection of another person. And what was fascinating is I got a whole big education around that, to the point of realizing that not everything is my business. Not everything is mine to participate in the healing of. Not everything is for me. And so after I gave permission to my divine to begin that process, to download the technology and to create for me my own individual divine shield, that divine shield that's not only a shield of protection but is a skin, almost like Superman or Spider-Man or the Red Lantern, something connected into heart, something connected into spirit, something connected into soul. And it was fascinating because what I also said to my guides is, I'd like to prove this. I need to prove this to myself. I need to see this in action. I need to understand it and really, really get inside of me that this is of value to me and that this is working. And so I was at the I Can Do It show about 5 or 6 days after I asked for this divine shielding to descend and this technology to be integrated. And I was sitting next to a woman who had been a client of mine in the past, who was also a friend, and she had saved me a seat. I said something to her in the morning that I did not know had really rocked her to her core. I wasn't trying to be upsetting, or I was just being observant, and I just said what I was told to say. That apparently set her for a tailspin for 2 hours, sitting right next to me in the seat right next to me while I'm listening to Greg Braden and everything that he was delivering on that day so eloquently. And completely oblivious, like here's the wild thing, completely oblivious to the fact that the woman right next to me is going through pieces of anger, that she's detoxifying rage, that she's upset, that there's a grieving process that's going through. I mean, she's just going through her own stuff. I'm just taking my notes and listening to Greg. I look over at her when his lecture is over, and she's just kind of wiping tears away. And I said, oh, you got really emotional from something that he said. Oh, no, you know, you said something to me a couple of hours, and I've just been, you know, doing all this processing over here. And it's good, and it's, you know, there's just so much stuff that's leaving, and I'm just so grateful for that. And I'm just like, really? Really should, oh yeah, rage and anger and upset and just, and it's all just coming out. And I'm just sitting there going, I felt none of this. I felt none of this. So I said to my guides in that moment, because that actually quite distressed me. I said to my guides, I felt none of this. This is not okay. This is not okay. What kind of a divine costume have you put me in? This is not okay. I felt none of this. And my guides very quickly came back to me and said, why do you think it's your business that you feel that? Why would you want to make your business something that is an emotional state that somebody is in that your divine is not guiding you to help with or to participate at some point in the healing with them of? Why do you operate in a way that thinks that you have to be a part of all of this? Why can't you just allow yourself to relax into your life and allow yourself to be called into service when you are being called into service? If this God had wanted your attention to be placed there, then it would have gone through that shield. And because it did not, you are not being called into service. You were allowing yourself to be exactly where it was that you wanted to be without being distracted. Why do you put yourself into a place in your mentality that allows for you to be so distracted by other people's suffering or emotional consequence when it's not something that you are being guided by that divine to participate in?
We're going to put you on hold just right now, and we're going to go at our first break, but we'll come back. We'll talk more about that because it's interesting, because we do think it's our business, right? Especially when it was something that you said that triggered her that you wanted to. But yeah, I think that that's fascinating because I think all of us do this. We're going to go to break. Give us a call if you have any questions around what Tracy's talking about. please give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Tracy McBurney from TracyMcBurney.com on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
CBS Radio The Sky and NewSkyRadio.com are presented only for entertainment purposes, and no guarantee is made for the accuracy or suitability of any advice or other information offered.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. Today we have Tracy McBurney with us, and we have been talking about divine shielding. We just got to the part where...
Sounds like a storybook, chapter two.
Yeah.
We just turned to chapter two.
Yes. We just finished as to why or how we've decided that, you know, some things are really none of our business. And I think a lot more than we actually think is really none of our business.
Yeah. It was also interesting when, in that moment when I was having that conversation with them, they used the word distracted. And why would you, Tracy, want to distract yourself from where it is that you wanted to be, that your soul wanted to be? Why would you allow yourself to be distracted over here? Why would you want to be distracted by something that was none of your divine business? Isn't that it? Like, you know, it's like, just put a t-shirt on.
None of my divine business.
And it's not that I care deeply about where people are.
Yeah.
Right. But what I'm now being shown is, you know, you can care so deeply that you can get so marred and so distracted in all of this that you just can't function.
Well, that's the whole savior victim, the whole, you know, I'm here in service, but, you know, I want to help everybody and I want to fix everybody and I want to change and help, especially the people we care about.
I call it the save the world addiction.
Save the world addiction.
Yeah. And it's not that I don't want it. It's more about needing to change my consciousness to the idea of, okay, divine, I want to do my part. Okay, God, I want to do my part. There's a part that I signed up to play in this great plan, in this great turning. There's a part that I signed up to play, and I need to get clear. I need to get pulled out of this addictive state that tells me through this arrogant idea. So that's an ego piece, right? That I'm going to save the world. And I've got to just be okay with whatever part that is that I came here to play. Big or small, I've got to be okay with that divine part, right? Yeah. And I think it's the ego sometimes that's just not okay with that divine part. It's part of us at 4 or 5 or 6 that, or 10 or 12 or 15 that still has something to prove, that's still needing dad's approval or needing mom's approval or needing that pat on the back that gets us saving the world. Look at me, look at me, look at me. Mm-hmm. Instead of really getting clear about where we belong, like where we belong, where we're really supposed to be focusing our energy, what we are being asked to do.
You know, I heard an interview, these channeled group called Theo, and they're supposed to be these 12 archangels. The point that I made that I really liked was they said, you know, our purpose, our soul purpose is to be here. What we keep wanting is to find significance. Our path is to find the significance of our life. But we want to have some, you know, grand significance. But it's, you know, just find the path and be it. Like, just, you know, I just thought that was fascinating because it said, you know, and they also talked about how many times, you know, our inner child gets broken off and really what we're wanting is just that love and acceptance. But that, you know, that we're striving for some greater significance. But that the journey is really, like, our purpose is really just to be here. Like, we work so hard to be here right now.
Yeah, well, okay, so we've got some thoughts on it. Anyway, what was really interesting, all of that was spiraling around since the last time that we spoke. But what also happened is that through this odd sense of coincidences, I ended up at this talk by this group whose organization, whose name I can't even remember because I'm not part of it.
Right.
And they had organized a talk for a woman who's an 83-year-old woman and speaker, shaman, whose name is Joanna Macy. And I'd never heard of her, and apparently she's written 7 or 8 books.
Yeah, I've heard of her.
And she has this new book out, and she was doing this talk. I got emailed about this talk on the day that it was happening. I read what it was about. I went, I have to go. I have to go. I had a client that night. It was like, I have to cancel the client. I have to go. I don't know why I have to go, but I have to go. There was something in what was said that said, I need that. She was talking, or somebody had written the blurb to talk about tools. She was going to talk about tools that night that were going to help us to navigate this time of what she was calling the great turning, this time of great change. And I just know there was a part of me, a spirit, a soul, a light of me saying, I need those tools.
Right.
I need those tools. I need more of those tools. My clients need those tools. I'm going to go listen to this woman. She's got tools. She's got tools. I need tools. I need more tools. Anyway, I got to that talk. I went with 2 other people who already had their tickets. I didn't have a ticket when I got there. And it felt really right. It felt really right for me to be there because I don't normally do those kinds of things, like just make that snap decision and then cancel a client. And it's like, there's where I'm going tonight. And I get there and I find out that all the tickets have been sold out, that this is now a packed house at OISE. Well, I'm looking up at the sky and I'm going, okay, I'm here. I'm here. And this feels not I'm here. My ego's like, I'm here. Hello. It's I'm here. And I know I'm supposed to be here. So maybe I'm just supposed to be here to meet somebody in the lobby, but if I'm actually supposed to be here to actually listen to this person, then you better get me a ticket because they're sold out. And this woman walks up to me about 20 seconds later, taps me on the shoulder and says, the woman over there tells me that you need a ticket. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I guess I'm supposed to go in to listen to this person speak. It's not just about me being here to meet somebody or talk to somebody. So I purchase the ticket for $20 and I go in to listen. And I'm looking around at these people and I'm like, these are not my people. These are not my people. There's a sea of people that I would say are not my people. Now, that's not anything other than to say, these are not the people that I would hang out with. These are not the people that I would invite over for dinner necessarily, or even, not that I would judge them. They're just not my people. And to me, it was like the word that came was activist. These people are activists. I'm not an activist. I don't consider myself passive either. I do my work behind the scenes. I'm not a person that's going to go take a placard and going to go sit there and get themselves put in jail over it. You know, like I do really cool stuff, but I do my work behind the scenes to kind of do my part. And I just went, okay, these are the people that you would literally see chaining themselves to trees.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not me. That's never been me. And I'm looking at the sky going, why am I here? Like, why am I here? Why does it still feel right to be here? This woman comes on stage and she starts to talk about this time in our history. She talks about this time in our history as the time of the great turning. I love that phrase. Mm. I love that phrase. She talked for quite some time. She said, there are like three levels of consciousness, three ways of perceiving what's going on right now for humanity, if you're even connected in any way. And she said, there's this whole group of people, and it's a big group of people, and there's a significant amount of politicians, CEOs of big companies, huge corporations. They want you to continue to think this, and they really do think this, a lot of them. She said, if I had to wrap it up in one sentence, she'd say, business as usual.
Mm.
They want you to continue to believe that what's going on right now is business as usual. What comes up is going to go down, it's going to come back up again. It's all business as usual. Sure, we're into a bit of a dip. Maybe it's longer than it's ever been before, but it's all going to go up back the other side. It's all business as usual. Just toe the line. And then there's this whole other group of people that maybe then have one veil of denial lifted from their eyes, who are looking and going, there are things happening here on this world right now that we have never seen, that have never been documented. And it's not so much business as usual. There's stuff going on right now all over the world that's quite different than we have seen. And it's also quite different that we're seeing so many different destructive kind of spirals operating, so many wacky weather patterns, and all of this converging at one time. Maybe this has happened at another time. The scientists suggest that. Greg Braden gives that to us when he talks about testing the ice in Antarctica, and he says, we've seen a cycle like this with regard to weather. We saw it 5,125 years ago. We saw evidence of that in the ice. But it's more than just weather. It's all this other crazy stuff that's happening. And so she said there's this whole other group of people that are just saying, no, sorry, we're not believing that. We're not buying into this. This is not business as usual. This world is going to hell in a handbasket, and we're going to all be going down with it. This is collapsing, man. It's all collapsing. The money system's collapsing. It's all collapsing. Everything's going to collapse. All of it's just going to be destroyed. You know, in so much as the world's going to be destroyed, humanity's going to be annihilated. I mean, it's just, so there's this whole group of people that are in this doomsday
conspiracy
mentality,
yeah.
Very much sitting in a consciousness of victimhood.
We're going to have to hold on that last group.
Okay, so we're going to chapter 3 when we come back.
the third group of consciousness when we come back. we're going to go to break. You can give us a call at 248-545-SOUL. That's 248-545-7685. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney with us. She's with us every second Friday of the month. And you're on Sky Radio, powered by CBS.
Enlighten, empower, enrich. This is CBS Radio's The New Sky. New horizons, no boundaries.
He wakes up in the morning, does his teeth bite to eat on his rolling, never changes a thing. Exchange, no time to exchange you and I.
Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. This is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney here today and myself, Lori Houston. We're talking about divine shielding. We're getting to chapter three of the different types of people that
different levels of consciousness.
Levels of consciousness, yes.
And I don't know, maybe there's more, but she sectioned it into three, and it was very interesting lectures. So she says the third group of people, they've come out of some level of denial. They are also accepting that this is not business as usual, that they're not buying into that. They've maybe sat in the place of victimhood with all of these other people for a while, really just kind of going, there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that we can do, there's nothing that we can do. It's all going to hell in a handbasket. We're going down with it. They sat there maybe for a while, but that's not feeling like a comfortable place for them either. Like some part of their being, some part of their soul is saying, some part of their education, some part of their moral code, something is waking them up to say, I can't stay in this group. I don't belong in this group either. And so they're coming out of that group. They know that it's not business as usual. And they're sitting there going, I have to do something. I have to do something. I don't know what it is that I have to do, but I have to do something. And she delivers it in such a really neat way. She said the people that are making that decision to do something, she said, for the most part, these are people that feel. She looked at the room and she said, probably everybody in this room, you are feeling people. You haven't shut down your capacity. You're not senseless people. You haven't shut down your capacity to feel. You may be feeling the pain of this earth. You may be feeling her grief. You may be feeling her anger and her outrage. You may be feeling the pain of the person that is next to you or the pain of your community. And she said, first off, I have to tell you, if you are one of those people and you are feeling that pain and you are feeling the suffering of the earth and you're feeling the pain and suffering of other people at this time and the pain and suffering of the animals, first of all, you have to applaud yourself because you are alive. You are alive. You have not deadened your senses. You are alive and you are tagging in to the reality of what is going on here. It's not a nice reality, but it's the reality of what is truly going on here. There's a lot of pain and a lot of suffering that is happening. And on many levels, she said, so then if you are a person that is feeling that, then you have to applaud yourself for the fact that you are alive, that you're alive, you're well, you're connected, you're not so distracted in video games or whatever it is, you're feeling. Now, what was interesting is, so then she talks about this third group of people, and she said, the loveliness of this third group of people is there are no guarantees, and they know it. They're willing to come out of that place of victimhood, and they're standing here prepared to do something. They may not know what they're going to do. They may not be clear about that, but they're prepared to do something. And they're also sitting with this idea and this feeling of uncertainty. They don't know if they're going to succeed. They don't know if any of us are going to succeed. That if we actually succeed at unifying in groups to get these little jobs done or these big jobs done, we don't know if that's going to be enough. If that's going to be enough to turn this ship around. Like if it's going to be enough. But they're literally sitting there going, well, I'm going to die if I stay here. So I'd rather die a greater death. So I'm coming out of that place. Now, I have to go back to my notes, but I cannot remember a tool that she gave me in that night that got through to me or made sense to me or was what I was looking for. I feel that what I got that night was exactly what I just said. And then I walked away wanting the tool. I walked away going, that's me. I don't know if I could say that I feel the pain of Mother Earth, that I could say that I feel her sorrow, that I feel her grief, but I totally feel the pain and the suffering of other people. And it wasn't until I put this divine shield on and it took hold that I really could feel how much I had felt that and now how much I wasn't feeling that. And so it was interesting because that ETA scan came into my world before I went to this lecture. So I was already having this conversation with my guides about, well, do I shield myself? What do I do? What do you think about this shielding idea? Could I get some idea about it? I need some awareness about it. I was already in that place. When I got to this lecture, looking for the tools, what I realized within a couple of days is one of the greatest tools for us is to call on our divine, to call on this God to deliver to us our divine shielding, our super skin, our super suit, like individually created for each one of us, because it has to be individually created for each one of us, because we still have to be given the capacity to be able to heal what needs to heal within ourselves. It's a suit that, for all intents and purposes, it attracts to me it aids in attracting to me. It's like not only is my heart attracting to me, but every part of my skin of this divine suit is attracting to me that which I need to heal within myself. And it's attracting that to me, and it's letting that in. So it's almost like healing at super speed.
Yeah.
That's what I feel. What's also really nice is because I'm not so inundated with everybody else's emotional stuff and everybody else's suffering, when something does get through, it's really easy to see.
Like how you wanted to talk about distraction and your husband.
Yes. Oh, you know what? I should have actually, I said it to you. I need to see it on air. When they actually said to me, why do you want to be so distracted by something that is none of your business, that you have not been called to pay some attention to? The word distracted was like, oh, I'm always pointing the finger at my husband for how distracted he is in his life, and I've never seen myself as distracted. And so I would have to say that since I've done this work and asked for this change, I am absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, less distracted by what's going on with other people. And if you want to call it distracted, I don't call it that, but then I get my attention called to the stuff that really is necessary, the stuff that really is my healing, that really is stuff. When that gets into me, that's me. Now I have to work on that. Now I have to ask this divine to enter into that place within me. I don't know what that is that just got me in the heart. I don't know what that is that just got me in the gut. I don't need to know. It's enough for me to know that it got through my beautiful super skin. It's enough for me to know it got in. So it's for me to pay attention to that. And it's not just for me to pay attention to it for me. It's for me to pay attention to it for whomever it is that was carrying that, that was brought to me. So I want to not only ask this divine to heal this within me, I want to ask this divine to enter its light, its love, and its wisdom into that person or those people that don't even know necessarily, that are oblivious to the idea that they're having this problem, so that it's not just me that gets that light, that love, that understanding, that wisdom, but it's the person that I attracted to me through that skin and through my heart. So it's helping my heart. We've talked about this on a different day, the heart being such a powerful magnetic field. Well, now I'm a super magnetic field. In putting that skin on me, I have made myself into a super magnetic field. And one of the things that's being attracted to me is the stuff that I need to heal. But also what's really cool is it's also what is being attracted to me is stuff that's good for me. It's stuff that's good for me, people that are good for me to meet, you know, that I need to meet, that I need to have. It's just becoming easier to make those connections, just way more effortless. And then there's also really nice moments where I just feel so unbothered, so serene, so peaceful, so unto myself, so quiet within myself, that I'm just like, I think it's an important thing. I think that's why I want to put it on radio. This is one of the things that I'm going to be speaking about to the energy medicine grad class next week. And I was told by my guides that I had to schedule this summer session, even though I wouldn't normally schedule a summer session, that this was one of the things that I was talking about on that day, that I needed to make the notes meticulous so that they could get sent out to the people that couldn't come, that it was important that as many of those students could come and actually be present, because there was something that we were going to do together as energetics, and that was too important. And also that it was all important that it happened before August. It was all important that it happened before August, that these people had this information that they could pass on to other people, and that it needed to happen in this timing. So there was like, I'm not usually given stuff that is of urgency, where I almost feel like I now have to sell it. I'm actually very uncomfortable with that idea of selling something rather than just saying, okay, this is what's available, and if you want it, have it. This is one of those times where it's like, no, I'm trying to sell this to you now because you're really supposed to come. And I feel like today it's a very guided thing to put this on this radio station, that I don't see that there's any harm to people asking for this. But what I've said before on shows is my cover my ass. I hope it's okay to say ass. My cover my ass affirmation is always when I'm speaking to this God, speaking to this divine, speaking to this Allah, if safe and appropriate in highest and best interest in, and if this is in divine timing, then I ask for this to be so. I ask for this to be delivered to me. And in this particular case, and I ask for all other protection. I ask for all other protection that is non-beneficial to me, all other homeland security that I have designed or that somebody gave to me as a donation or gave to me as an inheritance. I ask if they are not operating in my highest and best interest. I ask that you lift them from me now, disconnect them from me now, neutralize them, deal with them, and deliver to me my this technology as its replacement. And then the only other thing, well, one of the things we're going to be talking about is sometimes that's not enough.
Right. And we're going to talk about that when we get back
from
our last
chapter
break.
Four. Okay.
All right. So we're going to go to break. You're listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney with us. Tracy can be found on the net at TracyMcBurney.com. Tracy without any TracyMcBurney.com. And we're on Sky Radio powered by CBS.
Discover your spirit. Listen to Spirit Guide Radio, where leading spiritual experts serve as guides to nourish your soul. Every weeknight from 7 to 11 p.m. Eastern, Heidi Hollis, The Outlander, The Zodiac Girls with Solaris, Laura and Kira, Ask Dr. Doug with Dr. Doug Lear, PSI 911 with Katie, Rhonda, and Christy, Life by Number with Celeste, and Your Reiki Journey with Heidi Harrison. Spiritually Speaking Radio for the soul. CBS Radio's The Sky. Believe.
The strands in your eyes, the color them wonderful, stop me and steal my breath. And emeralds from mountains and thrust towards the sky. I'll hang from
CBS Radio's The New Sky.
Back to Intuitive Soul and Friends with Lori Houston. Call Lori now.
248-545-SOUL.
CBS Radio's The Sky.
The Sky.
Welcome back. And this is Intuitive Soul and Friends. We have Tracy McBurney here, and we've been talking about divine shielding. And so now we're on Chapter 4, which is... What more is there?
Yeah. Well, the only thing that I've seen, and I'm sure that there's more and more and more, but the thing that I've seen is that that divine shielding is exactly that. It is a way of becoming more intuitive, a way of maintaining a greater level of clarity, a way of improving your intuitive capacity, because things aren't just coming in from one place now. It's almost like they're coming in through all of the nadi, coming in through all of the connections into the nervous system. So more of our senses have a capacity to be picking up on what this is. So it's all of that. It's about attracting to us the things that we need to heal within ourselves, and attracting all the things that are good for us, repelling the things that are not, repelling or transforming. So it's almost like this skin can do many things. It can deflect. It can deflect. It can repel. It can transform. So literally an energy coming that is not for you, but not to be left in its current state. That energy is transformed and put back towards the people or the circumstance. I think that's just a very cool thing, which is why it all has to be unique, right? Because what your skin is going to deflect, my skin would let in and call good for it, right? So it's why it's got to be,
unique.
Our own individual piece. So then what they said was that then what you want to ask for, Tracy, the prayer, the kind of the daily prayer, would be something along the lines of thank you God, thank you divine for surrounding me in the light and the support of light. I don't know how to word it. It's like now this isn't necessarily about protection, it's about support. You know, thank you, thank you, thank you for granting me your grace. I love that term. Thank you, God, for granting me your grace. God, grant me your grace that I might now not just be shielded, but that you would deliver to me the light support that I need today in all circumstances that I find myself in. And the way I saw that is that you and I might be in my office, and all of a sudden, because you're there for a session, my light support around me. So I've got my divine shield always, but now there's a light support of, let's say, an egg, and I'm not envisioning the egg of any color. It's just happening. Because I've asked this divine to encircle me and surround me with the support that I need for every circumstance of that day and the support that I need for every moment of my sleep and my dream state, it's maybe creating an egg that's an unbelievable, beautiful turquoise opaled color that's all around me on the day that I'm working with you. And why is that? I don't know, but somehow you're going to be responding to it. It's exactly the energy frequency of light that you will respond to, that you will open up more with. And also in that moment, not only am I in the egg of support that would be best for us, but I'm also now aligned with whatever beings of light are coming in to aid or to stand in a particular formation, if that makes sense. So my guides may come in closer in that moment, or Archangel Michael might come in and stand right behind me while I'm, you know, sitting talking to a colleague, if that makes sense to you. And it's like, and I'm not organizing it. I'm not orchestrating it. I'm not inventing it. I'm not creating it. I'm not taking time to figure out what I need. I'm literally giving permission to this divine, to my divine, to this God beyond me, to send to me every moment of every waking hour and sleeping hour, the light frequencies that will surround me to support me or for additional protection. And I just thought that was cool. So, and again, that's not just so I'm not minding other people's business. It's so I can be, so I can appear, I can be So there is a greater propensity for us to connect, if that makes sense. A greater way of maybe achieving that, because my energy field has been shifted in such a way that would allow you to be more open, allow you to tell more of a truth than you ever thought you would tell on that day. Right? Because there are things here that you are picking up on that help you to feel safe. Colors that help you to feel safe. Beings in the room that help you to feel safe, that help you to feel free to open up. Or colors and light that say, you can be trusted. We're sitting there having a business meeting. And if this is something that's good for me, good for us, if this is a partnership that's good for us, my colors are being transformed. The things that are standing with me are being transformed in a way that says, this is a good partnership. Right? Anyway, so that's what I got. And that is over and above divine shielding. And it's really about support. It's not so much about protection, although every once in a while they say, yes, it is. It's about support.
Right. Right.
And support from that light.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you heard it. You can attract, you can ask for it with the, before the,
And I think we need to.
Our last break, Tracy gave us the affirmation to request it. And, all right.
Yeah.
Well, let's hope when you come in August, all hell hasn't broken loose. All right.
Happy Friday 13th.
Happy Friday 13th, exactly. All right, you have been listening to Intuitive Soul Friends with Tracy McBurney. Again, she can be found on the internet at tracymcburney.com. She's with us every second Friday of the month. All I can say is, wow. May love and grace be your guides to creating the life you desire. You've been listening to Intuitive Soul and Friends on Sky Radio, powered by CBS. Thanks, Tracy.
You're welcome. That was great. Thank you.